Get up off that high horse. Get up off this train. Get up off that high horse and drop that thing on me. Get up off that high horse. Get up off this train. Get up off that high horse and drop that thing on me. I like the girls of the country. Talking to G. Texas up to Kentucky. I always say the same thing.
It's just suddenly pretty about an hour from the city. I'ma be there and done it, I don't care.
No care.
I'm for Giannis and Billy. I know she looking at me silly when I'm telling the shawty I don't rap. Tell her, block.
Baby, 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 let me do my thing. Get up off of that high horse. Get up off of this train. Get up off of that high horse and drop that thing on me. Get up off of that high horse. Get up off of this train. Get up off of that high horse. Drop that thing on me.
Testimony, alimony, call it what it is. The house is on the prairie to the benches in the hills. Nudies on me, don't blow it back to Nashville. Magic City money throwing $20
bills. Every hole in the wall gonna be playing that funky stuff.
Shout it, got a pretty girl complex. Hey. Top Oakland house out of complex.
Every hole in the wall gonna be playing that country stuff.
Baby, 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 let me do my thing. Get up off of that high horse. Get up off of this train. Get up off of that high horse. Drop that thing on me. Get up off of that high horse. Get up off of this train. Get up off of that.
I'm loving it.
Drop that thing on me. She's a stallion with a big trunk.
Like hey!
High fashion.
They gotta give me some cowgirl boots.
Hey!
Hey, hey, hey! They said make it shake, 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 shake! That is the shit, is what I'm saying. I should have done my homework before I played the song, because I don't never like to leave no artist out of getting a props. Nelly, Breeland, and Bianco Brown. I was gonna mess that all up because I thought the one dude was Morton. I can't think of Morton's first name, but it's not. His name is Bianco Brown, Breeland, and Nelly. Nelly is killing the country music right now. That song is the shit, is what I'm saying. Welcome to this edition of the Making of the Mogul podcast, where the dream is free, but the hustle was sold separately, baby. And I am your host. I am comedian Tanola Oliver. I'm also known and branded as an intimacy coach. And so what is the Making of the Mogul podcast? This is a derivative of a live research study that I did on Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, that parlayed into an online book study that parlayed into this podcast. And so, what did we do? We followed the work of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson in the form of, literary work, social media, his artistic ability, whether it is music, or through his sitcoms, and various work that he does, right? And so, as an intimacy coach, I have, had several dialogues and on this platform, particularly, this is a safe space, right? It's a safe space for people to be able to express the difficulties that they have in building relationships while our focus is business relationships, right? Typically, business relationships is some reflection, right, of personal relationships. So if you encounter people that have difficulty with relationships in the business sector, it's usually some reflection of what's going on personally, right? And again, this environment is a safe space. So we talk about it in a way that it brings edification, right? That it brings increase, right? This is not a place for us to demoralize, dehumanize, or belittle anybody. It's a safe space so that entrepreneurs, budding small business people, individuals who have a dream that has not yet been cultivated into fruition, right? This is a space. We talk about intimacy and relationships a lot in here because that really is the core of doing business is relationships and the ability to build intimate relationships at any sector, right? And so if we look at a person like Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, he reminds me a lot of prior relationships, right? And I've been trying to give my ex-husband the space and the room to move on with his life, right? So I use him a lot. And so there is a lot of parallelism between him and 50. However, when we talk and examine the life and the relationships of Curtis 50 Cent Jackson, it is a real important understanding to see how 50 has matured into a business mogul, right? A business media mogul. And I think, just in my own thinking, him being from New York, right, is very essential because there are just so many different cultures and backgrounds in New York. For him to transcend culture, cultures of people, was fairly easy, right? Because he's from a place where from one block to the next, there's a different mass and a different the minority changes from block to block, right? Just like California, but New York still is a little bit New York. I compare California and New York, but New York is a little bit different when we talk about the intrinsic cultural bandwidth of various areas, right, in New York. And so tonight, we're focusing on intimacy and relationships. I did this special segment because people have been asking me about my journey with celibacy. And so I talk about it every now and again. I don't really go into a lot of detail about it because as much as I talk, I'm a very, very personal person, right? And I don't tell people no more than I want them to know. And so oftentimes people be like, why are you always repeating yourself? Because I got this much of information that I'm willing to provide to people publicly, right? And so I tell that story and I tell it 20 different times, right? But it, at the end of the day, it really is the same stories being regurgitated and recycled, right? In the ears of the hearers, right? And so I am a very private person. And so this is different for me, right? To have a dialogue about an area of my life that is very personal to me. And why is it very personal to me? Because it's that space in my life where I've reserved for holiness, right? It is that space in my life that people really don't get to see, touch, nor feel, right? It's a space, an intimate space, where only my ex-husband is familiar with. It's a space where I've been able to be uninhibited, and I've been able to just flow freely in the gift of my intimacy, right? And so that is very much a large component of who I am, right? And so this 6-year journey, and I'm going to talk in layman's terms, right? So if anybody doesn't know what celibacy means, it means to refrain from sex, right? And so I have been on a journey of 6 years, and I have not been intimate with anybody. And when I say intimate, I mean sexually, not orally, not physically, none of that, right? Okay. And so it's really been interesting, right? This is a grown folk conversation. And so this ain't, I don't know why y'all be letting y'all kids listen to my shit anyway. Like, nothing I say ever is kid appropriate. Unless it's my podcast for the ministry, right? I don't know why y'all will let y'all kids listen to me. All right. And so when we talk about intimacy, again, it is a space, a private space that I've reserved, right, for somebody who I feel like it's safe. Do you hear what I'm saying? The word is safe. That's the key word. Where's my bell? I need a bell. I need somebody ring a bell. The word for the evening is safe, huh? It's a safe space, number one, where it's a safe space. I'm going to leave that undefined for all of y'all, right? I'm going to leave it undefined. But it is a safe space. And it's not a space that I've allowed too many people to come into, right? And for the past, when I was married for 19 years, it was a space that was reserved only for my ex-husband. And the touching is one of my love gifts, right? It is very much a part of who I am. So if I care about somebody, for me not to be able to touch them, that's a big deal, right? Like, like, I'm one of them people that if you come into my presence, like, immediately I'm gonna find a way to touch you, right? And that sounds kind of strange, right? But touching, right, I consider that to be, what is it? It's my love language. And I don't necessarily have to love a person to touch them, right? It is just a form of communication that I've utilized. Now, keep in mind, I don't touch everybody, and I don't want everybody touching me. But touching, right? I'm a person that talks with my hands. So touching is also a form of communication for me, which 50. So it was interesting because I was at an event one time, and Curtis 50 Cent Jackson was there, and it was his event. It wasn't that he was there. I was there at his event, right? And so it can come as a surprise for people who are not used to being touched, right? You can tell when you've encountered people whose life have been so callous and so hard that they just haven't been touched in a while, right? And touched in a way that's not sexual, right? Touched in a way that's not offensive, but just a touch, right? I have touched people and they almost cried, right? And I'm laughing, but it's not funny because I truly believe that it is a gift of mine, to the point that some people run from me not to touch them, right? Because they think that, I don't know, that the Holy Ghost is going to get on them if I touch them or something. It's been real interesting. But anyhow, moving on. So this celibacy journey of 6 years has been really interesting because, again, my gift, my love language is touching. And so, and right, and there's sexual touching and then there's non-sexual touching for me. There are a lot of coping mechanisms, right? Throughout my life, right? Sex has been a major component for me in a form of coping. Like sex is not only is it an art, but it's also a sport, right? And so, and everybody knows I love athletics, right? And so it feeds the part of me that I've compartmentalized as a sporting activity, right? In addition to, it was a coping mechanism for me. And so anytime, and I've had this dialogue before, anytime you meet a high level performing individual, 9 times out of 10, they have a very high sex drive. And I've talked about it as I've talked about how I do my personal coaching, right? So there is a term that I coined entitled sexual intelligence, SQ. And it is a derivative from where it has absolutely nothing to do with your sex life, right? That's not a conversation you have to have with me unless you want to. And a lot of people want to have that conversation with me because they want my opinion, right? But it's not a conversation that we can talk about your SQ without talking about your sex life, right? And it's merely just a derivative of your motivations. And so most people who are high performing people, particularly people that get on stage, right? People who executives, high level, high performing, high energy people typically have a high sex drive, right? And most alpha personalities, not all, and I don't even know if I could say most, but it is typical to assume that an alpha personality has a higher than normal sex drive, right? And again, we have to realize that endorphins are released, other chemicals are released, an orgasm is a euphoria, right? And this journey for me has been a matter of not just discipline for me, but it's been a matter of mental health for me. And anxiety, I've recently recovered from my PTSD being triggered, right? and anxiety and PTSD really go hand in hand, right? And so, again, part of the coping mechanism of that was the fact that I was a married woman. And I was able to be, I was able to be intimate with my spouse, right? And my spouse was available to me, right? So that I could, exercise that part of my personality and who I am. And so when I talk about mental health, there is a void, right? That's there. And that's a struggle, right? That is a struggle. My purpose in withstanding from sex was because I did not, one, I didn't want to carry the expectations of what the experience that I feel like, yeah, I should be getting paid for them episodes. It's not that I don't know. Like, I should be getting a paycheck for them episodes. Anyhow, what is up with that? Anyhow, what was I saying? And so, I forgot. I started thinking about something and I completely lost track of my thought process. So anyhow, what was I just talking about? I just had a flashback of one of them episodes and I'm like, how is this legal? Has this been legal? I don't think some of that is legal. It can't be legal. But anyhow, so as it relates to the component of mental health, if there is a woman who is contemplating starting a journey of celibacy and withstanding from sex, the purpose is really to cleanse your soul, right? That is the purpose. Soul ties are real. For me, it was not about me trying to sever my soul tie from my ex-husband, because me and my ex-husband will always be connected, always. And so for me, it was more about disconnecting from the people that had attached themselves to his life, who had soul ties with him. Illegal soul ties and unhealthy soul ties. And keep in mind, you don't have to have sex with somebody to have a soul tie, right? And for me, the soul cycle of the past 6 years has been about me detaching from the toxic soul ties that were attached to my ex-husband. And so when I say that I didn't want to take my experiences into my next intimate relationship, it wasn't about the experiences with my ex-husband and I, because as it related to my ex-husband and I and our intimate relationship, particularly in the bedroom, there was nothing missing and nothing broken there, right? So when I say, and it's been misprocessed, and so I'm glad that I had the opportunity and the space to talk about it. When I say that I didn't want to carry the toxicity of the past and into my next intimate relationship, I was actually skipping over my ex-husband, right? It wasn't about him. It was about the people that had attached themselves to him, because you have to keep in mind, as I've said before, my ex-husband was a very, or is still, a very prominent, one of those person, alpha male, right? And one of those personalities that people gravitated to and wanted to be a part of his life. And for me, after a certain point in my life, I needed my ex-husband to guard his space more, so that I could be protected more. And that didn't happen, but that's okay, right? That's okay. And so it's been a 6-year soul cycle for me, for the most part. And it's been interesting because I done found out a lot of shit about myself, baby, huh? Like, I done learned a lot of shit about myself. And so, because sex just puts you in another space. Sex is, like I said, sexual intimacy is a high, right? And I'm going to tell you one thing. If you can connect sexually with somebody across the room without them touching you and without you touching them, oh my God. That is the highest level of a prelude to intimacy. Do you hear what I'm saying? And so, there's that. And so, yeah. What else are we going to talk about? Because I'm about to wrap this up. It's been about 26 minutes. I don't know that I've addressed a lot of the questions that people have been inquiring. I probably will attempt to do this in more of a private forum again, because I'm a private person. And so there's some parts of my life that I reserve only for myself and the people that I've allowed into that space. But I did want to share this. So mental health is definitely for a woman who is attempting to take that in that to abstain and take that walk of celibacy, you have to find a replacement for sex, right? And so I was a person that worked out a lot anyway. And so the gym is my replacement, because the same endorphins and chemicals that the brain releases during sex is the same chemicals and endorphins that is released when you're exercising and working out, right? And what else? And I didn't heard all. I'm telling you, now that I look back on my life, people are so highly opinionated and really just overly concerned about shit that ain't really none of their goddamn business, right? So when I looked back, I recall a time that I was ministering, and the women were insinuating that I got married because I didn't want to be living in sin. Now, I don't think they understood that I wasn't a virgin when I got married, right? So I didn't even understand the ideology or the thought process behind that. But I think it was because they was just digging, right? Like when your life seems too defined, right, by leadership, then people begin to start digging for shit that don't even make sense, right? And while I didn't wave a flag around, right, saying that I wasn't a virgin, nobody never asked. Instead of, like, making up lies, all they had to do was ask me, was I a virgin when I got married? And so that whole thought process didn't even make sense, right? And so I do say that I am a virgin, right, because I have abstained from having sex after 6 years. And technically, after about 2 to 3 years, the vagina begins to reclose, right? And so any woman that has abstained from sex for longer than 2 years, the opening to the vagina begins to close up and tighten up, right? And so that is why I say that I am a virgin, right? It's been 6 years. So it's been 3 times 6 years, right? And so what else that people been asking? We talked about mental health. I said, that I work out a lot. Do I drink? Very seldomly. So we know that alcohol is a coping mechanism. Maybe, you know, women replace sex with alcohol. I don't recommend that. But if it keeps you sane for the time being, then I say that to do it, right? Most people, particular people that operate in ministry won't tell you that type of common sense stuff. But if it is a coping mechanism and you have, the thing is to do things with balance. And so it's not a problem that having a glass of wine, and I said this before on the podcast, it's not a problem with having a glass of wine every Friday. If that's your coping mechanism for detoxifying, right, your environment and your mind, right? The problem is if you have to have a glass of wine every night before bed, right? And so it's the balance of it is what makes it self-care, right? The frequency of it is what makes it borderline abusive or addictive, right? And so, I'm saying wine, but wine is not just the only coping mechanism, right? Smoking cigarettes is a coping mechanism. However, if nicotine is working for you and keeping you sane and out of jail, then by all means, take the nicotine until you can find a replacement for it, right? The journey is to always constantly and consistently work on exchanging bad behavior for good behavior, right? And that's the process of the journey, right? And so what else have people been asking me about? We didn't talk about the vagina cavity because people really want to know that, right? We then talked about, what else have we talked about? We talked about mental health, right? I just gave you a tip that the purpose of the journey is to always exchange some bad behavior for good behavior, right? Not that you have to go cold turkey and do everything at one time, because that's extreme, right? And it is the extremity, that causes insanity, right? While cold turkey, right, and fasting has its place, right? But I'm always for doing things that keep you sane, right? And not allowing people to project their normalities or normalcies upon you. You do what's normal for you. If it's not hurting anybody else, right? If it's not causing an environment to be toxic for anybody else, if it's not bringing harm to yourself, right? Then do what's best for you until you have the ability to exchange the bad behavior for a better behavior, right? And there's still intervals in between that, right? You don't wake up one morning and have the exercise regimen that I have, right? And I ain't always been here, and I ain't always stayed consistently here. My body has required me to take breaks, right? And so, you know, you start out walking, or you start out jogging, or you start out stretching, or you start doing something. And then you build upon it until you get to where you want to be, right? That, and that's balance, and that's what feeds our mental health and our mental stability, right? Sex is very much a common basic need, right? Just like food and shelter. And while there is a biblical side of that and what the purpose is of sex, research, right, has proven that sex, people who have sex regularly are mentally more healthy, live longer, have a higher level of self-esteem. I mean, just a number of things, right? And so sex is very much a necessity and a basic need as food and shelter, right? And that's healthy sex, not toxic sex. And there's a difference, right? And I'm not really trying to have that dialogue right now. So as an entertainer, I'm going to say this and then I'm going to wrap it up. How has my journey in celibacy been as an entertainer, right? Everybody knows I love men, right? I ain't never, ever been shy about saying how that I appreciate men, right? And so I appreciate men, and they have really been large proponents in my life, in every facet that I can even begin to articulate. Men have been a major component in my life, and I love men from a different space. And so most people know that there was a void in my life of fatherhood. And I don't place the blame on anybody. Like, I've healed from it. I'm past it. But it's still a relevant conversation that needs to take place, because I want women to know that they can have that void in their lives and still lead a healthy sex life. You don't have to fall into the trap of, you know, what the world says, that you'll be loose, or, you know, the world say whore, right? Because you haven't had a relationship or a father figure in your life, right? You can very much have that void in your life and still appreciate and understand the virtue of your body, your temple, and of yourself, right? And so a lot of people, they know that I'm a preacher and I pastor, right? And you have to be able to separate, right? You got to be able to separate the pastor me from the comedic platform me, because they are very much two different individuals. And so it take a really, really special demographic of people that can vacillate back and forth between the two, right? And so a lot of people, and I've been real honest about this, because I think people have been bamboozled long enough by the church, right? And so I am not celibate because holiness is very important to me, right? I'm going to say something that's going to be so controversial, right? Do I want to start this shit on a, what's the day? Do I want to start this shit on a Sunday? So holiness is very important to me, right? And when we talk about holiness, we talk about abstaining from things, right? But there is a part of holiness that we don't really talk about, which is cleansing the soul of toxic thoughts, toxic behavior, jealousy, envy, backbiting, lying, ditch digging, you can do all the little religious stuff that you want to do, But if your spirit, you know, the core of the spirit, if your soul is still toxic, then your holiness really is filthy, right? And I think, Lord, and the Catholic Church is evidence of that, right? And I'm not going to say much more. I'm just going to say the Catholic Church is evidence that you can abstain from certain behavior, have a toxic soul, and still just be as unclean as a prostitute on the corner, huh? There's that. And so holiness for me was not just about me abstaining from sex, but it was about me cleansing my soul so that I could operate in a space where only the forces of kingdomship were pulling me to. Right. And I could not do that when my soul was toxic. And people gonna process that in so many different ways. And I ain't got time to break it down. And it has nothing to do with anybody else except for me. Right. It don't have nothing else to do with nobody else except for me. And so now that my space, my soul, is cleansed, right? I'm not saying that this celibacy journey is going to continue, right? I'm just being honest. And while holiness for me is abstaining and withholding from uncleanliness, right? And that includes adultery, right? But my mental health, if it is at risk, then I may have to forfeit my holiness, right? And I think I might just end it there, right? And maybe this is a conversation that we can take a deeper dive into in a private format. But I just want women to understand the motivation behind why I did it, right? It wasn't about making myself look better than other women, right? It wasn't about making myself look holier than other women. It was just a necessity in my journey so that I could clear my spiritual space and the aura that operated around me so that the power of the Holy Spirit could contain some of the demons that had attempted to infiltrate itself into my life, into my destiny, by way of people that I loved and I cared about. And we had a connection, a spiritual connection and a legal soul tie. And that was not just my ex-husband, right? It was some other people in my life as well, because remember, soul ties are not just about sex, right? There's that. How long I've been talking? So I think that's enough. I think I didn't say enough. And so as an entertainer, right, I said I was going to end on that. There are a lot of very attractive and very fine men out here, right? Very appealing opportunities. But again, and it's so funny because one of my he really is my brother, right? But you know, you got them kind of brothers, right? That if they catch you with your guard down, they're gonna get you, right? And so he was one of them kind of brothers. And so this is funny. And see, this is the difference between me and other women, right? Because I get men at a different level, not to the point where they feel like they can disrespect me, but they safe, right, in my space. And so my brother been apologizing to me probably for about 2 years now. because he thought we was gonna have sex, right? And I don't know. Some, and it's funny, right? It's not that he's not an attractive young man. I'm calling him a young, but not that he's not attractive. It's not that. It's just that we're in the same industry, right? And I'm talking about the comedy industry, right? And I just refuse, right, to sleep with another comedian. Like I refuse to do it, right? It's just one of them things. It's just like a non-negotiable for me. And that man has been apologizing to me for like 2 years. Like he feel real bad about it, right? And I laugh and joke about it. Where some women, most women, number one, would have done it, right? And then the other, the ones that didn't, probably would have been highly offended by it, right? But I get it, right? I'm not the worst looking woman. Like I'm kind of attractive, right? And men and women are attracted to each other, and we are all very high level, high performing individuals, right? With very high sex drives, right? And so I get it, and I wasn't offended at all, whatsoever. It was funny. I think the only thing that kind of took me by surprise is where he thought we was going to have sex at, right? And so, anyhow, we still joke about it to this day. And I'm looking forward to the day, maybe some years from now, when he actually tells the story, right? Because I got a feeling that he going to tell the story, and it's going to be a lot more funnier than I am. And so, and I leave the details out, right? Because I don't want people to know who he is, because I don't want people to think he's an asshole. Because he's really not. He's really, well, he kind of an asshole. Yeah, he's an asshole, but still he's a sweet asshole, right? And I got a lot of love for him. But the shit kind of took me by surprise for a minute. And then I'm like, he a man, right? And I get it, right? I get it. And so this is your girl, comedian Tanola Oliver. This is the Making of a Mogul podcast with a dream. It's free, but the hustle is sold separately. And I'll see y'all soon, all right? August 17th, pull up, get your virtual tickets. I'm cutting my commercial on tomorrow. Get your virtual tickets, or you can attend them in person for the open mic night, August 17th in Dayton, Ohio. And I'm looking forward to seeing y'all soon. Peace.